If we adopted a sensible policy like this, the very announcement would restore strength to the dollar. And the more we lived within our means, the less inflation we would have, and the less the poor and middle class would suffer, since there would be less pressure on the Fed to monetize debt. We also need to begin to restore monetary freedom, which means that Americans should be free, if they wish, to engage in transactions and contracts denominated in gold and silver. It is essential that Americans be able to protect themselves in this way against any coming monetary disaster that would leave them holding valueless dollar bills. No one in politics or the media even talks about the issue, so you know it must be important. There is much that the president cannot do on his own, and that requires the approval of Congress. He may earnestly recommend certain courses of action and try to rally the public behind them, but the initiative rests with Congress. Everything we have described in this chapter thus far falls into this category. At the same time, in areas critical to the health of our republic, the president holds tremendous power for good in his own hands. For one thing, every president sets priorities in the enforcement of laws and how he directs the attorney general. Just because the federal government has been given a power does not mean it must be exercised. The president could simply declare that the executive branch will direct no resources to the prosecution of medical marijuana patients. He could refuse to violate habeas corpus. He could refuse to detain people forever without legal counsel and without even knowing the charges against them. He can take these and other sensible measures even if Congress should refuse to curtail runaway executive authority, since the president is nowhere obligated to exercise such authority. And he can not only refuse to issue any more unconstitutional executive orders, but he can even issue an executive order repealing those that previous presidents have issued. In foreign policy, the president, as commander-in-chief, can order the troops brought home from Iraq in a matter of months, not years, a policy no top Democratic candidate will commit to. Again, so much for the opposition party. We are told by the war propagandists that such a withdrawal will lead to chaos, as if chaos did not exist there already. But these are the same people who also assured us that the war would be a breeze and that the whole thing would be paid for out of oil revenues. Why should we take their predictions seriously ever again? In the case of Vietnam, which is now a trading partner and has a functioning stock market, we have accomplished much more in peace than we ever did in an enormously costly war. Particularly in light of the National Intelligence Estimate that was released in December 2007, the president should order the Navy to back off the shores of Iran and make clear that we have no intention of attacking that country. The president should likewise declare that the United States is abandoning its isolationist posture of refusing major diplomatic contact with Iran, and that he is willing to talk with Iranian leaders, just as American presidents talked to Soviet and Chinese leaders throughout the Cold War. The sanctions against Iran should also be removed as a further indication of our country's shift away from isolationism. The price of oil would shoot downward, and the dollar would move upward on the basis of these announcements. The United States would suddenly become diplomatically credible once again for the first time in years. The isolationism that our leaders have imposed on us would now be reversed, as our government once again observes basic norms of conduct to which all countries are expected to conform. No longer would the White House, which is now viewed throughout the world the way the free world once viewed Pravda, the old communist newspaper, bombard the international community with a ceaseless barrage of war-justifying propaganda that no one anywhere, apart from the gullible and often complicit American media, actually believes. And no longer would the patriotic sentiments of decent Americans be exploited on behalf of wars that have more to do with imperial ambition than with American security. In other words, we need to keep our wits about us and replace our bull-in-a-china-shop foreign policy with a statesmanlike approach that is appropriate to the real needs of American security. We also need to stand firmly against moral relativism, recalling that actions do not become moral just because our government performs them. And if we really oppose isolationism, as all our politicians assure us they do, then sanctions against Cuba should be lifted as well. Sanctions hurt the target population, but rarely do serious harm to the targeted regime.